All right, there are zero eyes on us, so it's good. Hi, folks, and welcome to Starbase 66, your international genre fiction podcast. And this is our very first episode here on the Infinite Potato Alliance. Woohoo, yay! And we've got a full house here tonight. We're not particularly international tonight, but we are spread out across the U.S., which I think is pretty groovy. I'm going to introduce folks and it, as we to my, if you're watching, oh, there is somebody out there. Hi. go into the chat so I can see who's.
Thanks,
who's...
Mom. I don't know.
Yeah, I completely
actually
forgot.
I'm sure it's not my mom, but
if it was my mom, that would be really scary. My mom passed away. Anyway, hi, Facebook user. So to my right, as I'm looking at the screen, is Sean. How you doing?
I'm fine. I'm here live, but I'm not a cat.
I'm glad to know that. Joining us for the very first time, for not only the first time on the Starbase, but the first time on any podcast, is Leon. Welcome, sir.
Hello, thank you.
And down below in the on the bottom squares are Brandon.
That's me.
And Mark.
Hello.
Mark, it has been too goddamn long since we have had a shared a screen together.
It's been a long time, yes. That's when you asked me the damn wall. Oh, yeah, I'm totally doing this.
So this is going to be slightly different from... This is going to be more a roundtable discussion than an actual full-on episode of Starbase 66, because we're not going to do news or any crap like that, because there's a bunch of us, and we all want to talk about one thing. Which almost never happens on the show, but, you know, we have the best of intentions. So tonight, we are going to be talking about WandaVision. And I'm gonna tell you a little bit of a story about why we're doing this show right now instead of, like, our usual wait for a series to end and then do a retrospective. It is not an unknown thing for me to be a bit of a curmudgeon and, you know, not the easiest audience member when it comes to shows. Nor am I the most knowledgeable about Marvel stuff. So I went into WandaVision with zero expectations and a lot of confusion. And for the first few episodes, I didn't immediately write it off, but I wasn't thrilled because it was just kind of, you know, they were doing an excellent recreation of sitcoms I hated as a kid, so now I'm not going to enjoy watching them now.
Did you notice how hard he worked at not saying wrong? I was not thrilled.
But the thing is, you know, this is not new. It is not unusual or uncommon for me to gripe about things on Facebook.
No,
what has surprised me about this is the amount of "what the fuck is wrong with you" I got back in return every time I complained about the show. And then
I was shocked, I tell you.
Because most of the time people are just like, "Oh, there's Rick being a bit, you know, grumpled again," or whatever. I'm making up words now. You know, a lot of people were way more invested in this show than I ever expected. You know, I didn't know jack about Scarlet Witch or the Vision until I saw them in the MCU, other than knowing that there was a character named Scarlet Witch and there was a character named Vision. And for some reason, I knew they were married. I think a friend of mine in high school mentioned it at one point. It stuck in my brain for some reason. So when the show started and it was just this really weird black and white Dick Van Dyke show, I Love Lucy, not I Love Lucy, Bewitched, and then Brady Bunch. That's my wife over there.
My wife.
Wow, Alexa's gotten really good.
You don't even have to name her anymore.
That's awesome. But, you know, they threw in just enough of the outside story to keep me from rage quitting. And then, you know, then we had episode 4 and I was like, all right, this is fine. And then episode 5 happened. Now, okay. We are going to, from here on out, if you haven't watched up through episode 5 of WandaVision and you don't want to be spoiled, run along, watch the show, and then come back, because we're gonna speak openly and frankly about this.
That is your spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert. Spoiler alert.
I like it.
So at the end of episode 5, Pietro comes back, or comes to the door, and
kind of.
Okay. Well.
But no, go ahead and finish your thought, because I mean, okay. Yeah.
So we even talked about, oh, that's the actor from that movie and not this movie, and how interesting. And then the internet exploded, and everybody was like, "Oh my God!" And I was like, "Did I miss something? Why was this?" And then everybody's like, "This is why." And so that's kind of what I want to talk about the show in general, but the implications that totally eluded me, and once y'all explained it to me in great detail, thank you.
More detail than he ever wanted.
I realized that it was kind of similar to if in Picard or Discovery, Spock showed up, but it was Zach Quinto. Would that be a fair comparison?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
So and that was the part that eluded me. That, you know,
especially
and
he was talking like he was like it was not out of the ordinary. But like the main character was, you know, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of the setting the stage here. So Sean, what did you think of the show so far?
Oh, I love the show so far. The first I get where you were coming from in the first 3 episodes. I didn't dislike it as much as you did, but I was really intrigued with a lot of the, especially like the commercials, because the commercials were kind of, you could tell that was reality trying to come. Even in this one, you know, they did a commercial for Legos paper towels, which Legos, viewers, if you don't know, Legos was the city from Civil War. Mm-hmm. Where they had that big where Wanda had that big accident where a bunch of people got killed and everything. So obviously that's something that's still weighing on her mind if it's bleeding into her fantasy world and everything too. But yeah, as far as what's going on in this episode, one thing I couldn't tell was that, so Evan Peters shows up as Quicksilver.
You mean Uncle Jesse?
Yeah, we can go into the whole thing of why Quicksilver and you know, Pietro were different people and all that, and if you want to, but I couldn't tell if he actually was there or if she was doing that, if it was part of her fantasy or whatever, it wouldn't really make sense for it to be her fantasy, because how would she know, you know? Also, he wasn't called Pietro in those movies, he was called Peter. You know, but you know, did she actually say his name? Did she actually say Pietro? And he responded to it or whatever. He obviously recognizes her.
Yeah.
You know, but
I don't remember if she recognizes him or not. But
that's supposed to be her brother. But she also knows that it's not. You know, this is Wayne's basement, but this isn't Wayne's basement. You know. But so far, I mean, I have loved the show, and every episode has gotten better. When they in episode 4, when we actually saw people returning from the blip, you know, I was like, see what's happening? You see what's going on? You know, my wife was like, yeah, whatever. I was like, this is the first time we've seen that, you know?
Yeah.
That means she was asleep when she got dusted, and she doesn't even know that anything happened, you know? So all that kind of stuff is just, you know, it's really, really interesting where they're going with it.
Cool.
I'll let somebody else talk.
you've got a little bit of a pent up podcast.
Yeah.
Well, I was going to add to that. During that show, the one thing that struck me, because I went back and rewatched it, and it made me think, because obviously Wanda is doing some of this, but there seems to be stuff that's out of her control as well. And one of the things that struck me was the scene with Norm, which I absolutely loved. I mean, the way he turned on the dime was fantastic. But when he mentions that it hurts and it's her that's controlling, he never mentions who. So, you know, there's this whole thing about Agatha Harkness kind of being in control of this character, this witch character that Agnes might be. So if it's very possible that she's also kind of controlling all this as well. Somehow this all started with Wanda, but now somebody else is kind of like taking over and it's all become one big mess. But I think like parts of it are spinning out of control, which is why Wanda stops from time to time and she feels like, this doesn't seem like what I should be in the middle of, you know, little things that have popped up and whatnot. Like when the characters come out of character, I should say, she seems to be kind of taken aback by the whole thing.
Yeah, I think it's one of those things where, I mean, you can go really deep into the comics, and there are people who have, and the people who have gone really deep into the comics, I feel like are the ones who like episodes 1, 2, and 3 the most, because all of the sudden they were like, oh my gosh, her and him and that symbol and the sixes are missing, and you know, and it's it like people went crazy. And so if you know that comic mythology, that slow build up you get to enjoy and theorize and think about, which is why, Rick, I think you didn't love those first few episodes, because to you it was just a bad remake of a of your childhood.
Well, it was, and, it was good point, Brandon. Good point.
Well, yeah, and I, you know, and I think I said that because, and some of you guys remember, you know, you guys remember back before the internet when, you know, you watched what was on when it was on, and you know, I was a kid back before there was cable, and so you had even less choice, and so most of those I don't like sitcoms. I never have liked sitcoms. And so pretty much everything they did came out of stuff that I watched as a kid because I had no choice. And so it was like, okay, I'm not enjoying this in the least. I can appreciate the craft of it. The fact that was Rob and Laura Petrie's living room, you know, almost exactly, with just enough of a difference. You know, and but then they got into the stupid sitcom plots, and I'm like, what the fuck is going on here? and then there would be just a little bit at the end, and so it was.
Tell
it
me,
was
how did you not like episode 2 though, when Vision swallowed the gum and started malfunctioning? That was like the best.
Anyway, Leah, what's your take on all of this thus far?
All right, so when they first announced WandaVision, I immediately went into Glee. I am old school. One of my first very favorite comics, besides anything Batman, was the Vision and Scarlet Witch. So like immediate announcement, I'm in Glee. After starting watching them, I totally get why people were confused, hated it, because it was very fan based. Like, you had to be a really big fan to enjoy it from the beginning. If you weren't, you're just like, what the fuck? It makes no sense whatsoever until you get to episodes 3 and 5. But I mean, for me, yeah, I was loving it off the bat. And I had friends calling me who were big MCU fans, and they're like, what is going on? I don't get it. I don't understand. And I'd have to give them small bits of information. That way you wouldn't, you know, give everything away. And, you know, they always play with parts of the plots from the comics. So you could be wrong. You know, everything we have now is just all of us supposing what could happen.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of stuff in there from a lot of different places. So we don't know what's going to happen. We don't know who is doing what, but there's a lot in there where we're like, we all have our ideas.
One of the things that I find frustrating about the show, and is one of the reasons I was a little less than thrilled at the beginning, is, you know, I am a Star Trek fan first and foremost. That is my, you know, that is my DNA. And over the last 40 years, especially once they started making movies, I have been told time and time again that, you know, when they would do something that didn't quite jibe with what had been done before, or they kind of dumbed it down or something, they'd be like, well, it has to appeal to a much broader audience than just you and your fellow Trekkies. And I have come over the years come to accept that, cope with it more or less gracefully, maybe not, I don't know. but then here comes this show that if I was you guys, I would be in hog heaven, because as you have very well demonstrated, you really need to be steeped in the lore of this thing to get everything they're doing.
Yeah, I did not grow up reading Marvel comics, and I know very little about Scarlet Witch and Vision other than what's, unlike you, you know, all I know about them is what's in the movies and a little bit of background stuff like Wikipedia articles and stuff that I've read after the fact. And yeah, I'm not catching all of the clues, but I'm still enjoying the ride. There are things that I catch here and there, things that I'm reminded of, like in this episode there was I think Wu made a mention, or somebody made a mention, that so what does she have, like a catchy nickname like all the others? No, she's just Wanda. And I'm like, hey, yeah, that's right, nobody has ever called her Scarlet Witch in these films. We call her that because, you know, that's who her character is in the comics and stuff, but she's not called Scarlet Witch in these movies, in the MCU. And just a little line like that, just to remind you in this show, I was like, yeah, that's right.
Well, and I also think, like, they're working backwards with the fan stuff. So they've carried all of the people who weren't fans through all the way to Endgame. So now, yeah, we have the ability to go in a deeper dive, and we think that most of the audience will follow through, or at least listen to their friends when it gets to episode 5, that you should be watching this, and they'll go back and watch it. I mean, it's, yeah, like, to your credit, Rick, it's not where they have to dumb it down. Now they can raise it up.
Yeah.
Because we've been with them for so long.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I appreciate that, and I'm not exactly faulting them for it. It's just a little bit of, you know, but.
Well, so here's the thing. It's kind of the same as Star Trek, too, because Star Trek changed a whole lot of things in the movies, and this is changing a whole lot of things too. The difference is we have, like, generations of comics that contradict each other already anyway. And so they just get to pick their favorites out of all of the different storylines, and we just get to go along for the ride. I think it's so appropriate that Marvel is owned by Disney, because if there's anything that Disney knows how to do, it's to create an amazing ride. And you get to get on the ride and let go of all of your control and just enjoy it. If you are on Splash Mountain and you're like, no, I want the log to go that way, you're going to be disappointed because it's because you have no control over it.
Yeah.
The same is true about the MCU, Star Wars, Star Trek, any fandom, really. Unless you become the writer, you don't get to design the ride And so now we're all just along for that ride. And I said writer, not writer. They sound too similar, but, you know, unless you're one of the content creators, you don't get to decide. And the sooner you can accept that and just enjoy the ride, the more you will enjoy any fandom. And that's kind of where I was at with the beginning of this, because I know the comics, but I know more of, like, the X-Men side of the comics, because that's the era that I grew up in, than Scarlet Witch and Vision. I know them in the periphery, but not in depth. And so there were a lot of things that I did not know, but I enjoyed, okay, this is what they're doing, where am I going next? And for me, part of the fun is using that slow burn to build up all these theories in my head. And then whether I'm right or wrong, it's like dropping off the top of that big hill and about to get splashed, and the reveals, that big splash at the end where you just have all that adrenaline coming at you and you just really, really enjoy it. And so for me, it was all about going along the ride more than oh, I know all of this stuff about the comics. There were some things that I knew, but there were other things that I was informed on as well.
Well, I mean, and knowing a lot of stuff about the comics doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to know what's... I mean, because these shows and these movies change things all the time. I mean, like, case in point, Ultron was not created by Tony Stark in the comics. It was Hank Pym, you know? So things like... And that's like a big change, you know? Yeah. And then there's subtle, smaller changes that they do all the time just to make it more, I want to say realistic, but you know, sometimes transferring something or translating something from comic page to movie screen, you have to make it a little more realistic and not as cartoon, you know, and so they do a lot of that stuff. So, I mean, if you go in and you know the history of the comics and everything, yeah, you're going to know more than this guy. But they change enough stuff to where you're still on your toes. You know, you're not going to know everything.
Well, just to go show you how deep the Easter eggs in this went, there's a guy who's in the Navy who does the flag thing. I think it's called Semaphore or something like that.
Semaphore, yeah.
Where the way you hold the flags spells things out. Mm-hmm. Well, so this guy, he noticed that the clocks, the position of the hands on the clocks spelled out X-Men. And he said there is going to be a massive X-Men reveal. This was in like episode 2. So his theory was like, there's going to be a massive X-Men reveal in this. And so that's how deep these Easter eggs go. And that's not comic based at all. That's just nerds putting in little crumbs for nerds to find.
Yeah, definitely.
That's pretty deep. Yeah,
it is. Nice.
So one thing that I think would have worked better for me is if they had dumped the entire season all at once.
No.
Yeah.
For Rick, for Rick, it would have worked better for Rick.
For people like
for
me,
Rick. For Rick. Yes.
I mean, you know, I
wouldn't have liked it as much.
I get that. You know, like with Star Trek, with Discovery and Picard and Lower Decks and all that. I enjoyed the weekly. You know, because it gave you a week to process and to talk about it and stuff like that. And I kind of missed that about television. But like those first three episodes were very difficult to stay interested in. And if it had been like, oh, we can watch them, you know, all of those in one night and get past that and get into what's really going on, it would have worked better for me. And I've heard other people say that too.
Well, I mean, they did release the first two at the same, I think releasing three episodes.
He's not a cat, but he, hang on, one time. Back.
You can't talk to anybody about it.
you did I freeze up for a section.
Okay. If they release the entire season at once, you can't talk to anybody about it. You can't go to work the next day and talk about it because you don't know where they are. You could have watched the entire season and they're still at episode 4, then you're going to either spoil something or you just can't have a conversation with them about it. And you know, Netflix, when they were doing their Marvel shows and everything, they would dump the entire season at once. And I think I said on a podcast at the time that I love being able to sit down and binge these shows, but I miss being able to go to work the next day and have a conversation about what happened on the previous episode.
And I was like that.
That's what I do like about like Discovery, because we're getting it week after week and we can marinate on it. We can have conversations about it. We can do podcast episodes about it. And, you don't ruin anything for anybody because we're all in the same place.
My brother-in-law and I watch a lot of similar shows. My brothers and I do too, but my brother-in-law, we watched, Breaking Bad together weekly. Well, we didn't watch it together. We watch it at our own homes weekly as it came out. And then on Sunday dinner, we would talk about things. And so my wife's cousin heard us talking about it. And this was like in the last season. He's like, should I watch this? And we said, yes, it's available on Netflix. Go watch it right now. And on our recommendation, I don't know how he did this, but he binged the entire season or the entire series up to the finale, basically in a week.
Wow.
He must have done nothing. And he was, and he came back.
It's like 60 hours of television. Yeah.
Well, he wanted to come back and participate in the discussions that we were having at Sunday dinner, right? And so he then says, yeah, it's not that good. I'm like, you watched a lot of it for it not being good, but you know, he was like,
he probably burned out on it.
It's not that good. And it was like, well, okay, part of the thing that I like is figuring out what's going on. And I've already talked about that to death, but I think the binge makes it so that people don't think about it as much. So a show that requires more thought and some of these subtleties completely get lost when you drop out or when you drop it for a binge.
Yeah, but they could have dropped more than the first two episodes for the people who are clueless or don't get everything going on. You know, not necessarily the entire run, but they could have dropped it to 3 or 5 and let people really understand that there's more of something here going on for those who aren't, you know.
For sure. They should have dropped it to like, in my opinion, they should have dropped it to episode 3. I feel like that's the end of the first act. And that's when Monica gets kicked out of the dome. Not that it's a Stephen King problem. The hex.
Yes.
And, but I feel like that would have been a great place to end the very beginning of it. But I also, we would have missed a lot of the nerds trying to figure out what the crap was going on. And that's half of my fun.
So, yeah, Rick, I have a question for you. I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, so now the way that it was sold from the beginning, I don't know how many trailers you have watched or anything. Did it let you know that you were kind of in for something that didn't, it appeared as it seemed? Was there any of that going into this that you knew of? Had you gotten any of this from the trailers at all?
I was confused as hell by the trailers.
Okay.
I had no idea what to expect going in.
So it might have worked better to have them speak to that, because I mean, obviously, you know, people who love the comics and everything, we're going to go into it kind of expecting this is not what it seems, right? You got in Marvel, you got your arcade, you got your arcade world, you got your Mojo world, you know, these characters get thrown into like worlds where they play out whole scenarios and they don't really know what's going on until, you know, it all kind of goes to hell in a handbasket, right? But I think it would have been, if it would have been sold a little bit more that way from the beginning, then it might have been less confusing for people who didn't know what to expect. But I don't know. I just, something to think about, you know?
I think that was kind of part of my problem was when they announced WandaVision, I did a big, okay. And then when, you know, when they started, you know, we saw some teaser trailers, I was even more confused. I'm like, a 50s era sitcom starring two Avengers. But the to be perfectly frank, if it wasn't for my wife, I probably wouldn't have watched the show.
Yeah.
Because she's a huge Marvel fan. Every time we go to see an X-Men movie, at the end of the movie, you know, when we see a Star Trek movie, when the movie's over, she's like, all right, now explain what just happened. And I do. When we go see a Marvel movie, tell me what just happened. And she'll give me the whole spiel.
Yeah.
So you married up is what I'm hearing.
Yeah. Yeah. You're lucky she hasn't kicked you out of the chair, Rick. Okay.
So it's kind of, you know, but she's a fantasy and anime fan, and I'm a hard sci-fi fan. So there aren't a whole lot of TV shows that we both like to watch together. So when something comes up that we both would enjoy, it's a pleasant thing. You know, we watch Star Trek together. We watch Doctor Who together. And WandaVision was like, all right. You know, she's like, do you want to watch this with me? I'm like, sure. And after the first couple of episodes and three episodes, I was like, if she hadn't been there, I would have been like, y'all enjoy it. It's not for me. But I'm, you know, I'm glad I stuck it out. But they really didn't do much to dangle, you know, much of a carrot for those of us that aren't invested in the characters and like, all right, let's see where this is going. I was just like, boy, this is annoying as fuck.
So did you know when, like at the end of episode 3, when Monica got kicked out of the hex, did you know who she was at that point? Had you figured that out, or was that something you had to go back and check out?
I didn't either.
I mean, I knew once somebody told me what her name was, I knew exactly who she was, but just watching the show, I didn't figure it out. But something happened in this episode. Somebody mentioned Captain Marvel.
Yeah.
And she like gave a look It was a weird moment because I couldn't really figure out why she gave that look. It was almost like I don't like Captain Marvel kind of look.
Part of me wonders if she blames Captain Marvel for her mom getting cancer. Because her mom worked on all the experimental stuff that only came about because of Captain Marvel.
Yeah.
So,
Rick, I was going to say the, you're wearing a Captain Marvel shirt, but in the movie, that's where that character was introduced as a little girl. So, the seeds were getting dropped in there already, and then it all kind of, breaks out, in that one episode when you find it like, oh, wow, look at how this is connecting, but. Yeah, it's been great. I like that character a lot.
I would have liked a little more of a balance between the sitcom aspects and the something funky's going on aspect.
It's almost like they could do like the first three episodes were all 30 minutes. And then
minutes of it were credits.
That's true.
Jeez, yeah.
And starting in episode four, they've gotten a little bit longer. But it's almost like if they did less episodes but made them longer so that they can kind of interject what's going on with Wanda, what's going on with Wu and Darcy at the same time, and then kind of go back and forth from the very beginning. I kind of understand why they did it the way they did it, because Disney just wanted to be like, we're doing something completely different. but I think it might have appealed to a wider audience, like not like it's having a problem finding an audience, but
yeah. But that's my problem with Marvel right now and the MCU is I feel like sometimes it tries too hard to appeal to the wider audience, and I just want some good nerd binging, I guess, or not even binging, like whatever it is I'm doing with WandaVision, just watching. And like, this is sometimes, I mean, it's exactly what Rick was saying with Star Trek. He just wants Star Trek. That's his Star Trek that he can just enjoy, that's aimed towards him. And while this doesn't come exactly from the comics, it sure as heck is aimed right at me.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Now, onto the Peter Pietro Quicksilver thing. I had to have it explained to me. Did you all grasp the implications of that actor playing that character at that moment
immediately
when it happened?
Leon,
go ahead and elaborate on that, please.
So we've had the seeds planted now for the multiverse. We can get into a deep dive, but
go for it. Dive away.
Well, for all intents and purposes, the MCU is called Earth 616. That's where the main story happens. That's where the main action happens. Your multiverses start bleeding out to different Earths, but that's real deep comic lore. So what they've done, and this is my idea, is they've talked about the multiverse. They did it in Spider-Man. Even though we found out that Mysterio wasn't from a multiverse, he was bullshitting the whole time. But we know about this. We do know that there are multiverses. They put those seeds in, and then we have announced the Doctor Strange movie, Multiverse of Madness. So there it is. So when you see Pietro, you're like, oh yes, this is what this could do, is it could blow up the multiverses, which means that would make every single Marvel movie that's ever been made real, for lack of a better term. So if this is true, somewhere we've got Dolph Lundgren as the Punisher.
Nice.
But
there's like 12 Fantastic Fours.
Unfortunately, yes. But it also means that, like, yeah, so we can pull, like, this is a great way for the X-Men to show up. And if you're paying attention to Spider-Man 3, there's a lot going on there. They're pulling in two characters that are confirmed from two different Spider-Man universes.
Well, I mean, Tom Holland said in a recent interview they're not happening, but unless he accidentally says it, I never believe it.
Yeah.
Well, the Jamie Foxx and Alfred Molina are signed. They're done. We know they're in the movie.
Oh, I didn't know the Alfred Molina one was announced. Yeah. It was the Andrew Garfield and Tobey Maguire Yeah, he said, no, they're not going to be in it.
Yeah, but, you know, Marvel tells us that all the time. But maybe not, but we could have the villains show up. So then, yes, we're pulling villains from other timelines and coming in. So we don't have to introduce a new Electro. We don't have to introduce a new Doc Ock. And we can immediately go into Spider-Man 4 with maybe the Sinister Six, you know? So now we've got X-Men popping in from other timelines. So that opens up all the X-Men to come through.
We don't have to figure out a way to get, because when they made the Venom movie, you know, there was this big deal. Well, Venom is a Spider-Man villain. Well, now he can be.
yeah, absolutely. I don't know if that was ever explained, whether or not it wasn't the same universe. I don't know. As the new Spider-Man films.
It's Sony. They don't want to explain that because then people won't go to see it.
This is true. But but yeah, so yeah, the implications are we can have all these characters that people already know and we don't have to do huge introductions. But maybe we can actually make a decent Dark Phoenix film or series.
Yes.
Oh, that'd be so
that
good.
That would make my wife very happy because Dark Phoenix is her favorite series.
Nice.
And
it's never been done well on film.
It's never been done well.
No. I've been waiting for that. Yeah.
Like, you need at least two films to tell that story decently. So now we could get it, you know, in a series. Yeah. And that would be amazing.
Yeah.
Okay. Can I jump into some, like, crazy theories that is just me putting things together? Are you okay with that?
Of course.
Yeah.
All right. So look at the time. If we look at the timeline here, I can't remember. Was Wanda part of the blip? She disappeared, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. Okay, so timeline-wise, before Infinity War Endgame, Wanda and Vision were living together. They were in a romantic relationship. They had that.
Mm-hmm.
From that time to when Vision died was really not that long in the grand scheme of things because of the way that worked from her perspective, because she was blipped. Yeah, there were 5 years, but she was blipped. So when she was returned, my opinion is that she was already pregnant at that point in the MCU. So she's pregnant with Vision's children, and Vision's dead, and she's like going through some massive grief because, yeah, it was 5 years ago, but to her it was 5 minutes ago. And so she goes and gets Vision, and she makes a type of Faustian bargain. Basically, like, I'm having these kids. I want Vision back. I want to be married to him. And so I feel like the deal was made. There was a deal made saying, yes, we can increase your power so you can do that. And you can bring back Vision. But when you're no longer together, or when that's over, you know, whatever the wording is, there will be a price to pay. And
deal with who?
So in the comic books, it's Mephisto. He's basically the devil, the Comics Code Authority version of the devil. It's the devil with.
Oh, wasn't he the one that was in the original Ghost Rider 11 issue release was the demon that
possibly
did that to Johnny Storm? I did read the original Ghost Rider.
Oh,
I haven't read many comics in my life, but I did read Ghost Rider, and it was originally just like a limited. I think it was an 11-issue thing, and then it became really popular, and they brought him back.
So I think the deal that she made, the payment that's going to be due, are her twins, based off of some things from the comics.
Batman.
I feel like Agnes is trying to get her to... Because if you notice at the end of the last episode, she was trying to be all like, look, it's time to let go. And at one moment, and I feel like it was because when she lets go... then Mephisto gets the kids, and at that point the story moves along. So yes, Agnes kind of looks like she's helping her, but I think it's for her own purposes because she wants that deal to end and payment to be due. I also think that Pietro had nothing to do with Wanda. I think she was telling the 100% truth. She did not bring him into this universe, because earlier in that episode she told her boys, look, you can't bring dead back, essentially. Mm-hmm. Dead, which I don't know how that works with Vision, but maybe because he's a synthesoid, it's different.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, too. It's like, how that's where I'm like, how does this work? It's like, so...
Yeah, and they were trying to back up his brain waves at one point, so maybe there's a backup or something. So she's like, you can't bring dead back. And then they asked about her brother, and she was like, yes, and he's very far away, and that makes me sad. And those kids have powers that Wanda can't control, and we've seen that in these episodes. And so I'm sure maybe that we'll get a scene of them in their bedroom sitting on their beds talking to each other and say, you know what, Mom says it makes her really sad that her brother's not close by. Let's get her brother. Where's her brother? He must be very far away. And they brought Quicksilver into this universe, and their powers are being developed and growing right now. And I think that the teenage years, the rebellious teenage years, are going to be an interesting time, and maybe they will choose to go with Mephisto.
Yeah. So
that's my, like, okay, these are the tea leaves that I'm reading, and I will be happy if I'm wrong.
Yeah.
And I will feel smug if I'm right.
Yeah, so I also think that when Quicksilver shows up, whatever mind control is being done on everybody else, you kind of see it kick in with him. Because when he shows up there, he's kind of looking around like, what am I doing here? And then all of a sudden he's just like, hey, sis, how you doing? You know, that kind of thing. So it's like, whatever it is that's controlling everybody else's brain, it like started on him right there. So he's, maybe he doesn't really recognize her, but he, now he's playing this part that he's been written into or whatever. Do we want to tell the story of why there's two different Quicksilvers and
sure
and all of that? So I mean, I'll just give you the Wikipedia version of it, but essentially, Wanda and Pietro were characters in both X-Men and Avengers. They were in both of those comics a lot. And so they kind of both had a right to put those characters in their movies. So they had to come to an agreement. And they said, well, you can put Quicksilver in the X-Men movies, but you can't make any mention of him being an Avenger or being part of the Avengers or anything. You can put Wanda and Pietro in the Avengers movies, but you can't mention anything about them being part of the X-Men. You can't mention anything about Magneto being their father or anything like that.
You can't mention mutants.
Yeah, you can't mention mutants. That's right. So that's the whole, that's why Wanda has never been called Scarlet Witch. Pietro was never called Quicksilver. And that's also why Evan Peters' version of Quicksilver, they call him Peter. They don't call him Pietro, and he doesn't have like a Russian accent or whatever, you know. Which,
was it the same actor?
Which Wanda's Russian accent kind of disappeared rather quickly.
Well, I got thoughts on that too.
Olsen, I don't remember what her first name is. Did she play
Elizabeth?
Did she play her in both movies?
Wanda wasn't in the X-Men movies. Not,
yeah.
Yeah, I think they had plans for her, but it hadn't happened as of the time that Disney took over.
It's a bit of a mess. Well, the other thing with the two boys, you know, if they keep them and they grow up, which is the way it's looking, because you have the outlying characters coming into play as well too, you're going to have the young Avengers eventually out of all this, and that's going to make for an even bigger story. If they bring the young Avengers in, I'm going to cry. But it's as simple as that. There's a lot of great characters in there. It leads to a lot of other great stories, but I'm curious how they're going to treat it, because the way that some of the comic books work out, it could be very tragic at some points, and then, you know, eventually things get better again. But I don't know if they're going to use any of those elements towards the end of this, and if it will lead into the Doctor Strange movie. So
if they age the twins up to full adulthood, there's no way, at the very least, they're getting rid of Wiccan.
Yes.
Like, for multiple reasons.
Yes.
I mean, Wiccan. if they end up, think about Star Trek. Okay, so Wiccan is an LGBT character. So if you think about the grief that Star Trek got when they killed off Hugh. Mm-hmm. And they had to be like, no, he's coming back, because of the trope of killing your gaze.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The MCU is already facing a lot of grief for lack of diversity and inclusivity in the MCU. And so if they bring Wiccan in, with us nerds knowing his backstory and his history, and then they kill him, it's not going to look good in the PR front for them.
Oh yeah, yeah. I'm really. Yeah, oh yeah,
I can't see the boys growing up anymore. If we're following the idea of Wanda in this movie and in this series, growing and understanding and not understanding a lot about herself, and then it leads into these different thoughts with Doctor Strange. With him being in Spider-Man and then his own movie, I feel like what we're going to see happen soon is that the boys are going to go. They're going to go away. In the comics, they just vanish. And I feel like that's what's going to happen. And we're going to see the Wanda that is even more powerful than we've seen her in the MCU. We're going to see a Wanda that is filled with anger and grief more than what she already has. And she is going to do a lot more damage in the MCU than I hope that we're going to see. That's the way I'd like to see it go. And then I was thinking about it a couple days ago, and without seeing, we haven't seen Black Widow yet, but I feel like if this story is going to be that large, I think this was a much better way to start phase four.
Can you just imagine? So it almost feels like they're combining Secret Wars and House of M together.
Mm-hmm.
Because if their children don't age up the entire way and the kids disappear, in House of M, the comics, and this is for Rick or anyone else who is not as big of a nerd as me.
You're talking gibberish to me now.
House of M is a storyline in the comics where basically Marvel editors realized everybody's a mutant now. We have more mutants than humans in our stories. We need to do something about this. And so in the storyline, Wanda has a mental breakdown and basically says, no more mutants. And using her hex powers, gets rid of everybody but pretty much the core mutant team.
There's like 100 left.
Yeah,
out of the thousands.
So they become an endangered species. What?
What?
Does she kill them or just make them into normal humans?
Makes them into normal humans.
Yeah.
Okay.
So no more powers. They're just regular Homo sapiens. And so she's got a ton of power to be able to do something like that. If her kids disappear, I could see her saying, instead of no more mutants, saying, I need mutants. Basically saying, I need people who are powerful enough to help me rescue my children from Mephisto.
Nice.
And then having that turn into, oh, here are all of these people. But I also think it will combine with Secret Wars because of the way that Spider-Man looks like it's going to be going, where it's like a multiverse battle dome kind of a thing. And
then we do have a Secret Wars series coming up as well.
Was it Secret Wars? I thought it was Secret Invasion.
No, it's Secret Wars. When does that? I think it's in.
Yeah, I heard that they were doing something with Secret Wars.
Yeah,
that'll be insane.
They announced about 350 new series coming out.
Yeah.
pretty much.
But I think it's 2004 and Marvel 24.
Yes. Yes. Gentlemen, I got to get going, but I just want to say thank you. It was great chatting with you.
Thank you, Mark. Always
take
great
care.
To see you.
Thanks, Mark.
Bye now.
See you on the multiverse.
Do you have anything you want to plug before you run away?
Oh, yes, yes, yes. So, okay. You can find me on Friday evenings at Pink Milk After Dark. We usually put the links out for that, though, where we speak Star Wars queerly. I can also be found on Taking a Number Two, which is a Star Trek podcast with my friends Dallas and Steve, but that's on the Bad Motivators Patreon. But you can find me on Twitter at I Am El Diablito as well. But yeah, thank you.
Love you, my friend. Take care.
Love you, too. Take care. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Do you think that this whole series could be leading up to... I know that it's leading up to the next Doctor Strange movie. Do you think that this series is going to end on a cliffhanger and you're going to have to go see this Doctor Strange movie to see what happens?
I think I hope by the end of this, we'll see a distraught Wanda using her powers, and that's how it ends. Not necessarily a cliffhanger, but more like, you know, what's going to happen now? We know she's all powerful. We know she's upset, and we can see the damage that she can do. So how does that go on? Not leaving us on a cliffhanger of, did she do this? Did she do that? We know what's happening, and we see that she is going to, you know, drive the next couple of films, at least, of being out of control with, I mean, infinite power. I mean, Wanda can alter reality. She can, if once her powers grow to the infinite amount, she can take away people's powers. You know, she can already, we already see that she can change reality for people, and that she has these kinetic abilities to change things, destroy things. So just think of that on an even grander scale.
I hope it's not a cliffhanger. I hope it's a bridge, because I would like Doctor Strange to show up and be like, Wanda, you need some help, and like do something and put her to sleep, and like exactly what Leon was just saying, like have her go crazy. I want to see crazy Wanda is what I want to see. I mean, we've seen some glimpses of it. And can we talk for just a second? Rick, I know you didn't like the first couple episodes because it reminded you too much of it, but Elizabeth Olsen, her as an actor, like going from like the cheesy sitcom to the there's something serious going on, like her acting chops, and like this episode 5, like watching her walk out and get into the standoff with Sword, she is so much better than I ever give her credit for. And I mostly don't give her credit because her sisters are the Olsen twins. And so I felt Mary-Kate and Ashley.
Yeah, Rick, you didn't know that?
They're related?
I have to give them credit. I have to give them credit because every episode of this show so far has done a different genre of sitcom. And when they did this episode was the 80s, and they did kind of a Family Ties / Growing Pains motif with the sappy opening and all that kind of stuff. I have to give them credit for not going to Full House.
No, see, the set felt very much Full House to me. The set felt very much Full House to me.
It felt more of a Growing Pains Mr. Belvedere type set to me.
See, I got a full Family Ties vibe from it, but then
it was Family Ties. The opening was definitely reminiscent of Family Ties.
Yeah.
Can anyone explain why the dude? I've seen numerous headlines and I haven't bothered with them. Why the dude cut through the concrete fence with his hedge trimmer? That was supposed to be something.
Yeah, I haven't heard. I don't know myself what that represents or means.
Okay.
Like,
I think it was just a glitch. I think it was just showing that there are glitches. And it's just like it's just like in the first episode when the dude started choking and
stop it.
Yeah, she starts saying stop it. Well, then in episode 3 when Agnes is talking to the guy next door and he starts to tell Vision that, you know, that they're trapped there or something like that, she starts saying stop it. And it was almost like that was leading to something. Like you were gonna hear people saying "stop it" all the time. I don't know.
Now, let me just clarify on the point you just brought up. I am not in any way criticizing the craft of the show. It is brilliant. Everything is spot on perfect, which is part of my problem. and yes, a lot of people have been talking about how much fun it is seeing Paul Bettany just be able to get all goofy and silly and stuff. And it's kind of like when Star Trek does mirror universe episodes. I don't like it. I can understand why the writers and the actors and the directors all love doing it, because it gets them a chance to do something different and to get wacky and go out there and just go nuts. I just don't care for it for the most part. I gotta give Discovery props. They made me like the Mirror Universe for the first time since TOS. Everybody has done a fantastic job of recreating these sitcoms in WandaVision, and the acting is perfect. No, it's not like I'm saying that these shows are badly done. They just, it just, at first I was like, I'm hating watching this and I don't want to watch something I hate. But then they got me. But so are any of y'all excited about any of the things that are coming up that have been? I mean, you know, obviously because of COVID, everything is kind of, who knows when it's going to happen now. But is there anything in the shotgun blast of announcements that we've gotten in the last couple of months of what's coming up that you're particularly thrilled about?
The Super Bowl ad for the Winter Soldier. What's it called?
Yeah. Falcon and Winter Soldier.
Yeah, it looks pretty good. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I like how they're keeping. Oh, go ahead.
I'm sorry. Go ahead, Leon.
I was just gonna say I like how they're keeping that. They're bringing it back to the feeling of Civil War and the Winter Soldier. You know, I always liked that. I mean, yeah, there's some very similar beats in every movie, but within that, there's movies that feel very different. You know, the Captain America movies feel very different. The Guardians of the Galaxy feel very different. So I have always enjoyed that, and I'm glad they're keeping that with the Falcon and Winter Soldier.
I have actually not seen any of the trailers for Falcon and Winter Soldier. I never saw a trailer for WandaVision. Not because I actively avoided them, but because I didn't actively seek them out. And that's part of my new mentality of just going along for the ride. Like, I don't have to freak out about everything and know everything beforehand, because it just kind of makes it not as fun to go on that ride. I'm the kind of person who would watch all of the casting announcements. And okay, and maybe this is in June, I stopped recording my podcast. I've guested a lot with you guys here on what was then Cosmic Potato, but I stopped recording my podcast because life got kind of crazy. And I didn't want to be doing just another podcast that isn't as good as your guys's, right? Like, so I'm like, okay, what can I do that's different from you? And I'm not a machine like Sean, so I can't get all of that out. Like, I can't do the level of work that Sean does, but I can look at things from a different angle. And so we're going to be relaunching in March. But because of that, I haven't like been in the pop culture news every day. And if I would have known the casting for Monica Rambeau when she showed up, I would have been like, oh, I know exactly who that is, and I would have felt all smug about it. But I don't think I would have enjoyed the reveal as much. Not that I'm actively avoiding them. Like I said, if somebody pulls it up, that's fine. If I'm bored at work one day, maybe I'll pull it up. But I work for a school district in the time of COVID, so I'm not bored lately. So,
yeah.
But yeah, so I literally have. That's why I was like, oh, there's a Secret Wars coming out, huh? That's why I had no idea, which is cool because I own Secret Wars 1 and 2. So I'm gonna have to go see if there's any speculation on that and see if I can make some money.
Yeah, I haven't read anything about it. I just know my son called me a couple months ago and said, Dad, they're doing Secret Wars. And I was like, okay, sounds great.
Spider-Man's going to get his black suit.
Yeah.
Well, it's like the what if thing. I don't.
What if Wanda and Vision lived in a sitcom?
I think what if is gonna be fun
just because it's,
yeah, I mean, there are dozens of what if comics, you know, this one shot of just something stupid, you know, but yeah. It was funny, it was different, and then you go about your day, you knew it wasn't anything.
Yeah, and I you know, it's kind of like I've managed to unclench a little bit about it. But I have always been a Star Trek canonista, and I hate that about myself because it means I really can't enjoy the Star Trek novels or fan fiction or stuff like that because it's not real.
And but it's here not with like the multiverse, it's real.
I hate multiverse stuff too.
I'm looking forward to What If just because I think that I think I keep freezing up and I think I'm interrupting you. I'm not meaning to. I'm sorry.
No,
Sean's
no.
just very rude.
Yeah. I think that you stop talking and then I start talking and then it like glitches and starts again. So I'm looking forward to What If because it's going to be fun or good to be able to at least hear Chadwick Boseman as Black Panther again.
He finished
recording his part before he died. So
That'll be nice. Bittersweet. Yeah.
Yeah.
So why not? Any opinions on what they should do with Black Panther going forward?
Sure. I mean, my opinion, I'm not, like I said before, I didn't grow up reading the comics and everything, but I know that there's precedent for there to be another Black Panther. I mean, all of the Marvel heroes have been more than one person. You know, so I don't see a problem with making another person Black Panther. I don't necessarily want to see someone else play T'Challa, but you could easily have a different character become Black Panther and just go forward from there. I mean,
that's what the multiverse is for.
Yeah, on the DC side, they've already done that with Batwoman. You know, that girl that was playing Batwoman, she quit after her first season. But the show's still there because they've got a different character and it's not the same character. It's a different person playing, like taking on the mantle, you know, of the hero and everything. So
hear me out. I think that it should be Shuri because with Black Panther, I mean, Shuri's cool anyway. Like Shuri was one of my favorite parts about the Black Panther movie, but with Chadwick Boseman, you had Black Panther and all of the news stories were little black boys have a role model to look up to in the media that's not a athlete or a rapper or you know, a negative connotation. So you have Shuri become Black Panther and your news articles can then be that little black girls now have a STEM type figure to look up to in the media as well. So that's something that I am sure they are talking about in the Marvel boardrooms because, yes, these are entertaining stories and the art is important, but just as important as the art is also the audience. And so, you know, they're talking about some of these cultural impact discussions.
Doesn't Monica eventually become Captain Marvel?
She does in certain stories, yeah.
Oh, okay. So it just depends on which way they want to go, yeah.
They also give her the code name of Photon and give her all sorts of powers, which if you noticed, her X-rays didn't develop. And my guess is because she's got all sorts of energy flowing through her, which is maybe the same energy that gave her mom cancer. And now she's on a ticking clock too. I don't know, maybe that's why she hates Carol. Or not
she
hates,
could also, yeah, she could also have that, you know, negative X-ray from whatever, you know, Wanda did to her. It's another way to, you know, introduce powers from somebody, and also introduce more of how powerful Wanda is. And we haven't talked about it yet, so I'm gonna go back to this. But
please do.
Wanda may not understand everything that's going on because it's her subconscious, which Wanda does not have control over. This is what happened. This is in the comics how the twins were born. This is how Vision has come back. They're not really back. It's her subconscious creating new realities in the reality. So when the boys do go away, when she realizes Vision is gone, that's the impetus for her to become more powerful. It happened in Vision and Scarlet Witch. It happened in House of M. She was a major cause of Avengers Disassembled was because of this. So, I mean, that's another idea that for, you know, her not understanding everything. And I think Angela Harkness is there. Harkness is there because whether or not they introduce Mephisto, I'm not sure. she is someone who in the comics where she worked for Mephisto, she's also someone who trained Wanda to be the Scarlet Witch, how to harness her powers, how to use them without destroying everything in sight. So I wonder if she's helping that, this idea, I can keep Wanda contained here and keep her happy, and then I can help her understand what she is.
Which makes sense when Herb was cutting through the wall.
Yeah.
And because they were having a little sidebar discussion. So if they're in on it.
I see where you're at there.
And
cutting through the wall.
I didn't mean to, but that's my subconscious coming out, just like Scarlet Witch.
Symbolism.
but I do think that that Herb and her are working together, obviously, and it's to do something. It's to get Wanda to basically stop doing what they're doing right now, or maybe not to get Wanda to stop, but maybe to help Vision self-actualize and realize what's going on. Because in the second episode where he swallowed the gum, it was her who smacked him on the back when he was chewing big red gum. They named the brand Big Red, which I did Google. It didn't come out until after the time period in which that episode was set. And so I think Big Red didn't come out until the 70s, late 60s, early 70s or something like that. So yeah, I think you're 100% right, Leon.
Well, yeah, we'll see on that.
just enjoy the ride and act smug when you're right.
Wasn't Herb one of the people that they pinned in S.W.O.R.D. as a resident of Westview? Wasn't the only one that they couldn't put together was Agnes?
I didn't pay that much attention.
I can't remember.
Yeah. I think he was. I think the only person they couldn't recognize was Agnes.
I think you're right.
And yeah. I think Vision is not... Vision's there, but it's his corpse. You know, she...
Yeah, because...
That's why she can be close to him, but... She's controlling him like a puppet.
Yeah, because she looked at him at one point in episode 3. I think it was episode 3. She looked at him and there was a glitch and he was a corpse. He had a big hole where the Mind Stone had been and he was all gray and his eyes were all blank and everything. I was like, oh, okay, so she took his corpse and she's just kind of reanimating him or whatever.
That's really gross.
Well,
that's a
he's not a human, so, because I saw somebody say, well, his corpse is like 5 years old. I was like, yeah, but he's not a human being, so it doesn't matter. I do think Catherine Hahn that's playing Agnes, I mean, I like her in everything she's in anyway, but I think she's doing a great job as being this you can tell there's certain times when she comes out of her character and she's terrified, but she's also playing this aloof kind of slutty neighbor and all, and all this, and then she'll just stop and she'll just say, oh, do you want me to start over? You want me to go back and do that again? You know, but yeah, she's great.
So I did Google it. Herb's real identity is John Collins.
Okay.
So yeah, they did identify him as a resident of Westview. However, the High Evolutionary's name is Herbert Wyndham. So, I mean, it would be stretching a little bit, I think, but it's the only Herb I know of in the MCU, or not the MCU, in Marvel Comics.
I need to see more. I would like to see a S.W.O.R.D. show with Agent Wu and Darcy. I know I saw somebody mention that,
about that.
Yeah, that it would be great to do like a MCU version of the X-Files and have them in it or something like that. I would watch it.
Can I tell you how glad I was when I saw him do the card flourish and I was all like,
yeah,
5 years well spent.
Yep.
Yeah, I those were two characters that had to be that Emily had to be my wife, who's, you know, that's the dude from that, and she's from Thor. I was like, oh, all right.
Yeah, when I saw him show, when I saw him show up, I said to myself, "I said Rick's gonna hate that."
Well, wait, what was he from?
He was from Ant-Man and the Wasp.
Oh, yeah. right, yeah. No, okay, look. I didn't like either movie because I just hate Ant-Man as a character. And Paul Rudd is just a poor man's Ryan Reynolds, in my opinion. But did a bad job. What?
Yeah. He's been around a lot longer than Ryan Reynolds.
Tell me Ant-Man isn't a PG version of Deadpool, or was trying to be.
Ant-Man is old school, man. He came out way before Deadpool. If you want to see anything, they copied Deadpool off of Ant-Man.
Yeah, well.
Although I don't see the similarities.
The MCU has a problem, a Guardians of the Galaxy problem, because everything, you're being too loud, Sean. Everything that has come out since Guardians of the Galaxy has to be that screwball comedy funny type of show, because it worked so well in Guardians of the Galaxy, and like the entire feel of the MCU changed after that. Which if Falcon and the Winter Soldier is like Civil War, the best one,
Winter Soldier,
thank you. If it's like that, I will be so happy to have the tones varied again. It doesn't have to go completely away. I loved Guardians of the Galaxy. I loved it. But when every movie felt the same way as that afterwards, I just wanted I just want variety in the MCU. I love it when they spin off like, hey, here's our spy thriller. Here's our buddy cop. Here's our romance. Like, that's what I want from the MCU. I want regular genre movies with superheroes. I don't want it to be a superhero movie that touches on regular genres. I want it to be regular genre that has superheroes in it. It's a fine distinction, but I'm a big enough nerd that that matters to me.
Leon, just a really quick, I'm not going to go into it because I know that the audience is sick of hearing me harp on this, but my problem with Ant-Man was, my willing suspension of disbelief is not that difficult to trigger, but I demand consistency. If you establish rules in your universe, stick to them. And Ant-Man doesn't. Because, like, when he first puts on the suit and he shrinks down to an ant size and he's too heavy and he falls through the floor because he's, 150 pounds compressed into the, half a centimeter, that was fine. But then immediately below him, he lands on a turntable and doesn't even make the needle skip, And they don't do anything like, you can adjust your mass when you adjust your size. That's all I need. But they didn't do that. And so Ant-Man just really pushed me too far. And then he becomes Giant Man. It's my same problem with Odo, believe it or not. I love Odo as a character. I hate him as a concept in Star Trek because there's just no logic to what he can and can't do. So that's basically my problem with Ant-Man. I also it's a heist movie. It's a goofy screwball comedy. It couldn't figure out what it was.
See, they put all of the genres in one.
Yeah.
I actually did not pick up on that. Now I'm going to have to go rewatch Ant-Man to see how consistent it is.
Well, it's not. It's like the Hot Wheels. It's like the Hot Wheels case full of cars and.
Oh yeah.
Stuff like that.
Some of that in the first one was because they swapped directors in the middle of making the movie. I think there was supposed to be some explanation that didn't get, because I think in the comics there he's got more than one, he's got technology that can make him lighter or make him heavier and stuff depending on what he needs to be doing and stuff, and they left that out. I'm with you in Ant-Man and the Wasp when they can shrink down a building and then just take it with them.
Yeah.
I just want one scene in that movie. Like, I enjoyed the movie, but Rick is right. It would be better if Hank Pym was up there explaining to Paul Rudd, okay, here is how this works. And he starts going off into the deep, in the weed science on it. And Paul Rudd just looks at him and says, quantum physics. Got it.
Yeah. And be like, that'd be great.
All right, I don't know it. It works, but I don't get it.
But I can say from experience that having a Thomas the Tank Engine toy thrown at you, no matter how big you are, isn't going to hurt. because my daughter has thrown her Thomas the Tank Engine toy at me. Whether you're a size of an ant or a size of an adult human, it still weighs 3 ounces.
Yeah, I've had many things thrown at me by a 2.5-year-old, and it hurts almost every time.
I was going to say, you must not have gotten the die-cast Thomas the Tank Engine.
Yeah.
No.
But
the
if you
special tungsten in addition.
If you step on it at 2 a.m, you'll feel it.
That's that is sure. A different story. All right, let's wrap this up. I just a couple of really quick things. First of all, Brandon, I want to thank you for recommending the book The Fold to me. I really enjoyed it.
It's a good one. It's a very good one.
I have to say though, the ending kind of threw me. Not the ending of the story, but the very end when the two agents show up and it's kind of like Men in Black, and I'm like, who the hell are these people? And then I find out it's not exactly a sequel, but it's the second book in the same universe that this guy wrote.
Well, see, I didn't know that.
I didn't either until I was well, what's the next one?
It just made sense to me, like the way the story worked. That said, boy, you really like multiverses, don't you?
I don't mind multiverses. Okay, here's my problem, and I really hope that Marvel doesn't go this way. And you know, please feel free to disabuse me of this if they do. The thing that DC lost me with, you know, I enjoyed The Flash. I watched the first 4 seasons of The Flash, but every time somebody died, they would just bring them back from another Earth, and so it stopped having any consequence or emotional power when somebody died. Or
I forget that you don't read comics.
And that's the thing, I don't. So you know, the multiple Earths thing, and then you know, they'd bring in another Harry Wells from, you know, Earth 7000, and he'd be like, well, you know, on Earth 7000, I'm like, no, it's Earth 1 to you!
Well, he said that. I mean, Harry Wells said that in one of the episodes. He was like, you know, on my Earth, it's Earth 1. It's just Earth.
But that may be later, but like, by the time I was finally like, all right, I'm done with this shit, they were all just like, oh, this is Earth 1. But then it wasn't, because then they bring Supergirl in, and we find out she's on Earth 62 or some shit.
Speaking of the DC multiverse, since you brought it up, while I don't know if I mentioned, well, I think we hadn't started recording yet, but I just got over COVID, so I was out of work for a couple of weeks, and one of the things that I watched while I was sick was Stargirl, because it's on HBO Max, and
it's not CW.
It's made by the CW, but they've got all the episodes on HBO Max.
Okay. So, the W and CW stands for Warner Brothers.
Yeah. It was actually made for the DC Universe streaming app that they did.
But then
the next day they would show it on the CW, and now they're all on HBO Max. Anyway, really good show. If you want just some classic, just comic book fun, giant robots, superpowers and stuff, it's a really good show. And Stargirl has been in the, what we used to call the Arrowverse. Now I think they call it the Berlantiverse or something like that. But she was older. She was on Legends of Tomorrow, and she's like an older version of herself. This is in another universe, so it's not on the same Earth that Flash and all that takes place on. But she's younger. She's in high school and stuff. And it's like, the whole setup is that the Starman was part of the Justice Society of America. Yeah. And she's kind of putting that back together, and they're all new people, but they're using the same, all the superpowers come from like devices and things. Nobody's like born with powers. They like use devices and things like Green Lantern and stuff like that. So, but it's really good. And it's got Luke Wilson. It's got Luke Wilson and Amy Smart are both in it as well. So it's really good. I enjoy it.
So check that out.
I heard the edits are different between CW and HBO Max. And I've been told the HBO Max ones are the better ones.
It's pretty good. I didn't watch it when it started. I know that when they did their last big crossover event, they kind of hinted and they showed some of the characters from Stargirl in that. And that was the first time that I had even had an inkling of it or whatever. But while I was off work, I went and watched the season one. It's just season one is like 13 episodes, I think. And I was, man, this show is really good. I mean, it's Luke Wilson's running around in a giant robot suit and all this kind of stuff. You know?
Now I have to watch it. I've been trying to not, but like I've never heard a bad review of that show. So
yeah,
cool.
Yeah, it's as good as like season one of Flash was great, and yeah, this is as good as that. You know, so
okay, cool. One other thing I would like to recommend, which if you all are familiar with my dislikes, this will come as a bit of a shock, but another book that I'm listening to and stunned that I'm loving it is World War Z.
Oh, know, I love that book.
Yeah. Hate zombies. I am so over zombies, and I've been over zombies for a long time, which is why I never read the book. But my friend Adam literally said to me, get the book. If you don't like it, I'll pay for it. I actually found it. I got it at the library. I'm listening to it. The audiobook is amazing. It's a whole, I mean, like, I just finished listening to Alan Alda's section. I mean, it's a bunch of incredible actors reading these things. It's really weird because it's a novel, but it's the way it's set up, it's almost a bunch of short stories all set in this universe.
It's like somebody doing it's like a journalist doing a report.
Yeah, he's interviewing people.
Found footage in book form.
Yeah, exactly.
Don't watch the movie thinking it's going to be, because it's completely different. Completely different. They ruined it.
All right, Brandon, you already said you're going to be coming back in March. Do you have anything else you want to plug right now?
Just if you like nerdy stuff, we're going to start taking deep dives into Phantoms, our first series that we're going to do. We're doing it series based now, 4, 5, 6 episodes per fandom, where we're going to talk about the power of positive fandom and how it can be wielded for good. We're going to start with Anchorman. I've never seen that one. So my co-host loves that show. So we're going to dive deep into what it's about, the history, all of those things. So March 1st.
Are you talking about the Will Ferrell movie?
Yes.
Okay. Okay.
Yes. So
for a second, it sounded like you were talking about a series. I'm like, wait a minute. I didn't know.
No. So my show will be a series about.
Gotcha. That. Okay.
So we'll have a few episodes on it. Apparently he's based off of a real Anchorman. So we'll be talking about that and more over at fandompodcast.com.
Sweet.
Stay classy, San Diego.
Leon, do you have anything that you would like to direct folks to?
Nothing about me. If you haven't started watching, we've got one episode left of The Stand. That is an amazing show based on an amazing book. And it's a limited run. So it's only 6 episodes, I think, maybe 8, but that's it. If they're not stretching it out, and it's been great. And then, if you like goofy stuff, but fun, I'm really digging Dickinson on Apple Plus. It's a weird take on the history of Emily Dickinson, the poet. And it's a lot of fun. And, I would recommend it to anybody to watch.
That's in like modern times, right?
No. It's set in the time period, but they've got the soundtrack is modern to what's going on. They speak modern rather than, you know, old English or whatnot. So yeah, you're not getting taken out of the time zone because the time era, because it's never put in that time era for you, but you know, so everyone's wearing corsets and they're in horse and carriage.
How much does it feel like A Knight's Tale?
That sounds like a Xena.
Honestly, I never thought of A Knight's Tale while watching it, and that's a good thing.
Oh, gee, you're wrong, Ben. You're wrong.
Come on. Great. Knight's Tale is horrible.
That's why it's so good.
Yeah, this does not fall into the horrible so good category, but at least for me. So, you know, check it out. It's got two. We're in season 2. I think we're about halfway through, but I binged the first season in a night because I just fell into it and loved it.
Cool.
Yeah.
Sean, you want to plug anything or?
Yeah, we've got our on the, that Star Trek podcast. We have a series that we were supposed to start doing it 2 weeks ago, and I got sick. We're gonna be doing you know, because we're in between. There's not any new Trek coming out for a while, so we're gonna go back and we're gonna watch all of the Star Trek TV series, TV episodes, and movies that have to do with time travel. And we'll start recording that this week. The first one will be tomorrow. Is tomorrow is yesterday? Is that the name of that episode?
Yes.
Yeah, that was the first time travel
Thursday episode. But
funny. Oh, funny guy, huh? But yeah, we're gonna do that, and then we'll go into City on the Edge of Forever, and just go from there. Go through all the series, and you know, Star Trek IV. And we'll eventually actually watch the 2009 Star Trek again.
Oh, goody.
At some point.
So. All right, folks. Well, thank you very much for listening. Thank you, Sean, Brendan, and Leon, for joining me tonight. Mm-hmm. And Mark, wherever you are. It is my intention to get this show back to being bi-monthly. Or is it bi-weekly? I can never remember. Every other week. So... as opposed to, you know, whenever the hell. Also tomorrow night, as we're recording this, I have no idea when you're listening to it, but Ro and I will be recording the first episode of season 5 of Stargate SG-1 for Open the Iris. We'll be getting back into that, and so I hope to be bringing you guys lots more podcasting now that you know, it's been a weird year. I don't think anyone needs to be told that. 2020 sucked, and 2021 has kind of gotten off to another ball kick. But things are finally settling down. I think we're all kind of getting used to the new reality, where stress is just another thing. So I'm kind of running out of excuses for not podcasting, and I'm getting itchy to do it, and so are my co-hosts. So we will be bringing things to you much more frequently, hopefully with a lot less bitching, but I can't promise that. So from all of us to all of you, have a wonderful rest of whatever your week is happening, the rest of the night, the rest of the day, the rest of your life. We love you. We'll talk to you again soon. Take care and bye-bye. Hi, folks. Due to me being a fuck-up and then my daughter getting sick, I wasn't able... first of all, me being a fuck-up, Jen was supposed to be with us for the big talk about WandaVision, and I screwed up getting her on the show. And then I had hoped to get the episode out before now, but my daughter got sick, and so I haven't been able to edit it. So in the interim, episode 6 happened.
Mm-hmm.
And so now... Jen has come on, and we're going to talk, get her take on the show, and talk about episode 6 as well.
Yeah.
Because mm-hmm. I'm still as clueless as ever with this show. So. So how are you enjoying the show in general?
I love it, because one of my favorite movies of all time is Pleasantville, and it has a very Pleasantville feel, especially in the early episodes. So I have described it to people as Pleasantville meets Once Upon a Time meets Marvel Comics. So... which I'm sure you've not seen either of those.
No, I haven't watched Pleasantville. I have seen some of Once Upon a Time over my wife's shoulder while she was watching it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not a show I've... The only thing I could tell you about Once Upon a Time is that the dude from Stargate Universe was in it as Rumpelstiltskin.
Yeah, Robert Carlyle. He's probably one of the best parts of that show, let me tell you, because he's awesome.
Yeah, my wife's big into fairy tales and fantasy and stuff, and it's just mm-hmm. not my hey, Boz! Not my cup OT.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, it's not everyone's, but I enjoyed it because I do like fairy tales to a degree. But yeah, it's scary enough that I just realized yesterday, I was like, oh God, Once Upon a Time is 10 years old this year. Started in 2011, but it's
yeah. No, we're talking WandaVision episode six
up through six. Yeah,
up through six.
But yeah, it's part of the concept of WandaVision is that well, if I say anything, it's going to spoil.
We're spoiling.
We're totally spoiling.
Yeah,
we're totally spoiling. All these people are trapped and they don't realize that they're trapped. That's essentially first season of Once Upon a Time right there. And then added on that they keep changing times, genres with each episode. Like first it's in the 50s and it's in the 60s and it's in the 70s and it's in the 80s. So far, my favorite was probably the 50s one, which was the first episode, because they were just so cliche and that it was hilarious. I was laughing because I remember the old, you know, Leave It to Beaver, Ozzy and Harriet, all that stuff, reruns. You know, it's before my time. But yeah, I was just laughing out loud the whole time. And I was like, oh, there's got to be more to this. There's got to be so much more to this. Because, and over the course of the episodes, everyone's starting to realize it's all messed up, and I'm liking all the cameos that they keep throwing in of all the other characters from various other franchises. Like, they've got Dottie from Thor let loose. Thank you, Boz. Yay. I miss you, Boz. but it's you see Dottie from the Thor series, you got the FBI agent from Ant-Man, you've got Maria Rambeau's daughter, Monica, who they're alluding to in episode 6 that she's going to be, because in the comics she does become her own superhero. They're alluding to that being a thing. Mm-hmm. So that, and they already showed that the two kids have superpowers, which is also in the comics. So that's going to be interesting. Yeah, I'm enjoying the show so far, and I'm laughing out loud, especially with all the in-jokes, the cameos, the stuff that's related to either other movies or other TV shows or the comics, because I have actually read some of the comics that are involved with this storyline. There's two in particular that are really tied to this, which one of them is called House of M, which was in the early 2000s. Which is essentially what ends up happening is 15-year-old comic book.
Let's not go too far into what hasn't been on screen yet.
This is all stuff that has happened, I promise. So what ends up happening in House of M is it's basically something happens in Wanda's life that's similar to what's going on in the show. I won't spoil that. But she ends up going completely berserk and completely rewrites reality for a while. And then, so essentially, some characters that had superpowers lose their superpowers. Other characters who were dead suddenly are alive. Yada, yada, yada. You get the idea. She basically rewrites reality, because in the comics she has chaos powers, not specifically telekinesis and telepathy. And it's messed up.
I've noticed that with, you know, the more I learn about the comic versions of the stuff, you know, because as I've said a million times, I don't read the comics. I never mm-hmm. have. Mm-hmm. All I know about these characters is what I see in the MCU, and then what my friends start talking about. And, you know, my wife was trying to explain this to me the other day, and it seems like Marvel especially, I know DC does this as well, but they tend to make these characters who are so incredibly powerful that basically they become gods and they don't know what to do with them anymore, and so they have to find some way to take half of their powers away, otherwise they just, like you said, rewrite reality at their whim. And
well, that was kind of a soft reset of some of the characters they did with that, because some of them, after it was fixed, ended up also keeping either more power or less power. I remember specifically Spider-Man actually got more powers from it. He was one of the few that actually benefited from it. But yeah, it was a weird storyline. And then in, I want to say 2014, there was a comic, and it was a one-shot that they did where Vision ended up having a family in the 50s, and they were all robots, and that's partially based on this too. It's like called House of Vision or something. I can't remember specifically the name of the comic. Boz might know, I don't know. But yeah, it's based partially off of those. And then Sword, I love Sword and Shield. Sword, it's also from the comic books. It's a Joss Whedon. He created that back in, I believe, 2005, 2006. So that is a Joss Whedon product from comics, not movies. So I thought that was so cute when I was like, oh, they brought Sword in finally. So that's my comic geekiness. And then just in general, the way that they've done this, they're saying that the show is going to have repercussions on movies later on. I don't know, because we still got 3 more episodes to go. We'll see.
I kind of like how Marvel does that, though. You know, one of the more frustrating things about, you know, out of a pantheon of them with the DC TV / movies is they're trying to create, you know, keep them absolutely separate from each other.
Mm-hmm.
And Marvel just is intertwining everything, you know, sometimes better, sometimes not so much. But I like how they are doing this, because the lines between movie and TV are becoming far more fuzzy than they ever have been in the past.
Right.
And, you know, it used to be TV couldn't afford movie people, and movie people didn't want to work on TV, and you know, and movie producers didn't want to hire TV people. But now it's kind of like, you know, now that the, you know, the studio system is long gone, and TV shows are ending up with budgets comparable to movie studios, there's a whole lot of crossing the line. And so there is no real viable reason not to create this cohesive universe, and Marvel is doing it beautifully.
Yeah, and it helps that WandaVision actually has really good writers.
Yeah.
Because that doesn't always happen, even with the, you know, the CW stuff. It's like some of their... But I like Flash. I liked Arrow. I like Supergirl, kind of. Black Lightning's actually been pretty good so far. I agree. I wish DC would cross all of it, but for some reason they're going, no, this is like multi-universe stuff, and they're over here, and they're over here. Because I would really love for them to bring the Flash from the TV show into the movies and so forth. It's like, I like him as a better character. No disrespect to Ezra Miller.
No, I'm sure he's fine, but yeah, if it's not Grant Gustin, I hate to say it, but I'm not as interested.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
I'll see it when the movie finally comes out, and it may be good. And yeah, Ezra Miller, what little we saw of him in Justice League, did a fine job. But I'm like, you're not the Flash.
Right. Flash. And they could have even had him be, because there are multiple characters who have been the Flash.
Yeah.
He could have been one of those other characters and it would have been fine. He didn't specifically have to be Barry. He could have been Wally West or somebody else, and that would have actually worked. But they made him Barry, and it's like, we already have a Barry. What are you doing?
That's true. I should have said, you're not Barry Allen. Yeah. Even in the TV show, we've seen 3 different Flashes.
Right, right, yeah. But that's actually in the comics, you know, so, yeah. But so, I like to, well, sorry, go ahead.
I was just saying, the back to WandaVision, a lot of the Easter eggs and cameos and bits go right over my head, because I don't get them. But one thing in this episode that I really got a kick out of, and I don't know, just when they were standing in front of the movie theater, and what was playing was The Incredibles
and The Parent Trap. Yes. Oh, which The Incredibles came out way later than the show is taking place. Same with and it depends on which Parent Trap, because
yeah, there've been at least
three, because I think there was a TV movie version too. Mm. I think I know of at least 2. So that, yeah, that was funny.
Now, what Boz was saying earlier about how something so cheery and colorful can be so amazingly dark,
mm-hmm.
every time one of the townsfolk kind of wakes up, they're like totally freaked out.
Mm-hmm.
And then we had the as Vision was getting closer to the outskirts of town, and it was clear the influence that was animating people was fading, and so they were just freezing up at that woman who was kind of stuck in her yard.
Yeah, that was creepy. Yeah, definitely creepy. But that's kind of the intent. Is it's like, it's very cheery, but at the same time, it's kind of messed up. That is definitely the vibe they are going for. Which, again, that's very Once Upon a Time, because especially first season, because most of first season they don't know who they are, right? And slowly, the point of the first season is that they're slowly realizing who they really are. And there are some, a lot of dark undertones to it, especially with the Evil Queen and Snow White and all them, because in later seasons, they show that not everybody is evil and not everybody is good. There's a lot of gray area, especially with characters that are stereotypically one or the other. In fact, in later seasons, Evil Queen becomes actually a hero, or at least an anti-hero, and she becomes one of the most awesome characters in the show. We'll talk more about that later. And they've already said, you know, Agnes is a character from the comics. They're already speculating she's a character from the comics, who is a big villain for Wanda in particular, so that'll be interesting. We'll see where that goes. We got three more episodes to watch. The two kids are in the comics. I can't really spoil too much about the two of them. Except that we did see that they have powers, which everyone suspected to begin with if you haven't read the comics. The biggest surprise, I believe, so far is them having Evan Peters in the show as the other Quicksilver and where that's going. Because I literally, when he put the back of his head, I was like, oh, did they get Aaron Taylor Johnson? No, they got the other Quicksilver. I was like, no. That was so awesome. I was cheering, actually, when he popped up. Because people are suspecting, like, is this really the crossover that they're finally bringing in all the Fox properties? Or is this just a wink and nut, you know, ha-ha? I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah, I was talking about it earlier. You're not on... That's right, you're not on Facebook, because after... last week's episode came out and the internet lost its mind. I finally posted, you know, it was a fine episode, but what did I miss? And then everybody was like, Pietro, you freaking moron.
Yeah, because he's the Quicksilver from the X-Men stuff.
Yeah, and I noticed that. My wife, and I was like, oh, it's that guy. But the implications of it didn't occur to me until everyone in the world told me quite emphatically.
Hello, McFly. Okay.
Exactly, yeah. And you know, it was an interesting thing they did with the Halloween episode, with him suddenly becoming all shot up. But the actor didn't change, which I thought, I guess that kind of made sense. Bringing in the other guy for one little flip probably would not have been feasible.
Right.
You know, hey, we killed you your first time out. Can you come back for 10 minutes? although I suppose here's a grand, come on in. We'll, yeah. But anyway, as someone who had read the comics, when they put on their comics outfits for their Halloween costumes, did you get a kick out of that?
Oh yeah, totally. Especially, you know, Vision's costume and Wanda's costume, because they are the comic costumes. Now, Quicksilver's is kind of his costume, but they made it like low-key because, you know, he's wearing jean shorts and tennis shoes and all that stuff with it. And his hair, when his hair was up like this, was, I was laughing so hard. Because that is from the comic books. And then when they had the kids dress up the same way, I was just like, yeah, that's actually their comic costumes, the kids.
Oh, okay.
That is their costumes, because one of them becomes a speedster and the other one becomes like Wanda. In fact, the kid's name is Speed, and Wiccan are their hero names later on when they become teenagers. They become superheroes when they're teenagers later on.
Okay.
Yeah. And also Wiccan ends up being gay.
Yeah, they were talking about Wiccan earlier, and I kept trying to go, who are you talking about? But then I just couldn't get a word in, so I was like, all right.
Yeah, he was one of the first openly gay, not the first, but one of the first openly gay characters in the Marvel Universe. Cool. Yeah, one of, not the. But yeah, and it is interesting, he has a, there's a whole storyline about him and his love life and everything. But yeah, it's those two kids are a weird. I could spend a whole episode just talking about their whole history, which I'm not going to do that. But yeah, they end up becoming their own interesting characters. But I just like the fact that it's like, well, they said, like, what are you dressed as? Well, I'm the cool twin. Yeah, so the two actors are having a cute time together, being brothers.
Can you see the comments, by the way?
No.
Okay.
Let me turn on the comments. Hold on.
Yeah.
There we go.
Boz just said something.
Yeah, why wasn't sure he was so not her actual brother. Yeah. Yeah. There we go.
And also, just really quickly, because I don't think you realize you're doing it, sometimes you punctuate your words by tapping your desk and it's coming right through your microphone.
Sorry. And my cat's howling in the background. Lovely.
And all the other people we're used to.
Okay. Well, I have a better mic now, so.
Fortunately, my noisy beast is asleep. Just until one of Sharon's friends comes knocking on the door, and then.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that Halloween episode was probably the pinnacle of the series so far because of all the little in jokes and sight gags and everything else, and that was their '90s episode. So the next one, from the previews that they've shown of the rest of the season, the next one's going to be very Modern Family like, so they're going to be all talking to the camera directly kind of stuff. That's going to be the 2000s.
Yeah, see, this week's episode, I had no idea what show that they were
it was on. kind of a mixture of Full House and a couple other 90s shows. So, I mean, obviously the 80s one was obviously Family Ties, like totally Family Ties. So much quieter than me. Okay,
I'm checking my settings right now. Hang on, let me try this. 1, 2, 3. Is that any better, any worse? 1, 2, 3, 4. Do I sound any different to you, Jen?
A little louder.
Okay.
Malcolm in the Middle. Yeah, I could see that. Definitely. That's also part of it. It was kind of Malcolm in the Middle, kind of Full House. A little bit. And my cat is just going nuts. yeah, it was kind of a hodgepodge of 90s sitcoms.
Yeah, I we thought Full House, which is another show I never watched. You know, they're getting into the sitcom era when I was working evenings and didn't mm-hmm. have a VCR, and so I didn't see a lot of these shows. So
I was in college when a lot of those were on. So I only watched like the first couple of seasons of Full House, and then I stopped watching it. So by that point, I was more of a sci-fi kid, and you know, watching TNG, DS9, Voyager, all that stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you and again, because you're not on Facebook, you haven't seen me bemoaning how much I despise sitcoms in general, and so
my cat.
Is that
sorry.
A boy? Is that a boy cat?
Yes.
Yes. They tend to be the mom. Okay, I lost my train. Never mind. I've just been
sitcoms you don't
the,
like. Yeah,
the sitcom pastiche. It almost lost me in the first three episodes, but then once they started getting more of a balance between sitcom and what's actually going on, then now I'm in. But
yeah, I stopped watching sitcoms by the 90s. I watched Family Ties religiously, I will admit. Didn't really watch a lot of Brady Bunch because that was obviously the 70s episode. It was more Brady Bunch-ish.
Yeah.
The 60s one, I couldn't quite pinpoint what
Bewitched.
Show was it. Okay, Bewitched. Well, the title card was definitely Bewitched.
Yeah,
totally.
It, the whole thing. It was a Bewitched. A Bewitched.
Ish. I don't
know what the word I'm looking for.
yeah.
Yeah, because you know those were all shows that I watched growing up as a kid, and kind of am still sick of. You know what's funny? It would not have worked, and I understand why they didn't, but if it had been Gilligan's Island, I probably would have liked it. Because
it's more niche, though. Show. I mean, everybody loves that show, really. I like the nods to various shows, though. Again, I didn't watch Modern Family. I know heathen me. I've never watched it.
I haven't either.
So when they get to that one, I'm going to be like,
I keep thinking Modern Family is that cartoon, the Seth Rogen cartoon, but then that's Family Guy. And I don't like that either.
Well, you're not a
Rogen. No, it's not Rogen.
Seth MacFarlane.
MacFarlane. Yeah, that Orville asshole.
You still have to watch. Okay.
No, I don't. I do not have to watch any more Orville. I watched 4 episodes of that piece of crap, and I'm done with it.
Well, first season is awful. Let's be real. Second season is a lot better. There's one episode in particular that I adore, and I know you'll never watch it. So.
No,
the show got a lot better.
It couldn't not.
Well, now it's on Hulu, and it's it's harder to watch now because we don't have Hulu.
Yeah, so. we do, but I okay, Boz, if you really want to hear something disheartening, I tried to watch What We Do in the Shadows, the TV series, and
I adore that show.
I love the movie. I found the show to be meh.
See, Boz is the one who got me into that show and the movie. So thank you, Boz.
I guess maybe I was expecting too much out of the TV show. And it wasn't one of those ones that I rage quit. It's on Hulu. And we have the basic Hulu that came with Disney.
Mm-hmm.
And that means commercials. And I hate commercials so much more now that I shouldn't have to put up with them. And the show just wasn't good enough for me to just stick with it. It just, you know, I didn't decide I am not watching this anymore. It was just like, I realized, hey, it's been like 6 weeks since I watched What We Do in the Shadows. Meh.
Well, did you watch the episode with the trial in it? Because that's the pinnacle episode of season one.
No, I only watched like the first 3 episodes.
Okay, the trial is like I want to say episode 6 or 7.
Okay,
so what ends up happening? I'll tell you. Just go ahead and it's what ends up happening is they have a trial because they killed one of the other characters, like one of the guest characters, and it ends up being actors who have played vampires in other properties. Playing themselves as vampires, as the characters. It's kind of very fourth wall. So you've got.
Don't tell me too much. I'll go back and watch. It's more a matter of I keep forgetting to watch it than anything else. But
the only one I'll tell you that was hilarious as hell is Paul Reubens comes back as his character from the Buffy movie.
I think someone had told me that. Yeah.
And he's right back in character like he never left. It's awesome. But if I remember correctly, he still has both arms. Correct me if I'm wrong, Boz.
Wait, Orville is better than Lower Decks? Boz, you are fired.
I haven't watched Lower Decks.
Lower Decks is great. Lower Decks is awesome.
I've watched the cartoon. But I have not watched Lower Decks, so...
Wait, what cartoon?
The cartoon. There's the Nickelodeon cartoon. I've watched the first episode of it.
It's out?
Mm-hmm. Well, the first episode. It was shown on a pre-release thing.
I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm. It's all right.
Well, it's not. It's supposed to definitely be a kid's show.
Yeah, it is. Well, the anime series was supposed to be a kid's show.
Yes and no. TAS was, you know, it had to be aimed at 11-year-olds, but, you know, DC Fontana and others have said all along that while, yes, they were doing a show that had to be for children, they were not writing it for children. They were writing it for adults and making sure that it was child-friendly.
Mm-hmm.
So TAS, you know, I mean, we could do a whole show. Maybe we should do a whole show on the relative merits of the animated series. But I think as a Saturday morning show, it was certainly much better than most.
Yeah, of course it came out when I was born. That age is
yeah,
right
I
there.
Watched it in its first run, and I didn't realize until I went back and rewatched it when Mission Log got to it,
mm-hmm.
and realized that I knew every word, every bit of music. That was the first Star Trek I watched in real time,
because
you know I was born the year the Cage was made, so I have a vague memory of seeing one Star Trek episode in season 3. It was Jem. No, that wasn't the name of the episode.
Plot.
The Enterprise goes to find an outpost in a dying star system, and the three scientists that were there have gone missing. And then Spock, McCoy, and Kirk find this mute girl that they call Jem.
Oh,
the empath.
Yeah, the empath.
That was the title. I hate it when I blank on something that I've known my whole life and it's just because I need it, it goes away. But I remember seeing that episode on a TV in a hotel in Florida where we came down for a vacation one year. And then thinking back on it and knowing how old I was when we went on that vacation, it had to be in a summer rerun. So that's the closest I came to watching any of TOS in real time. But TAS, I watched all of it as it aired. Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, yes, there are some silly aspects of it. You know, if we accept the whole show is canon, there is a 50-foot Spock out there somewhere.
It actually has been accepted as canon as of Enterprise. It's been considered canon, so.
They've been slowly adding things, especially, but that anyway, that's a whole other discussion.
Yeah, what is it? Another show entirely? We'll get, yeah. WandaVision, yes.
Yeah.
We do this. We wander, like,
so,
for real. Okay.
Is there anything else you'd like to say about the series or about what you'd like to see coming up in it?
Well, obviously they're going to keep going through more genres because they've still got 3 episodes to go. I have a feeling they're going to do a 2000s and then a 2010s episode. And then the last one will be like, oh, shit's going to really hit the fan now. It'll be interesting to see what they do with the side characters, because they've already said, like, the FBI guy is going to get his own spinoff show. They've already said they're going to do that.
No, wait, what? No, people have been wanting them to. I haven't heard them say
they're
going.
I thought they were in talks to give him one, which I'm totally for that. He's awesome. They're going to probably do more, you know, with Rambo, and they might give her a spinoff show or something. They already said she will be in the new film, the new Captain Marvel film. And whether she's going to have her powers or not is going to depend on these next 3 episodes. I suspect she will.
Well, they were finding out that her X-rays were weird as hell, so.
Mm-hmm. Which, yeah. I'm also interested to see where they're going to go with what's going to happen with Vision after all this, because he's technically dead.
He's very dead, yeah, and found out for himself how dead he is when he tried to get
mm-hmm.
out.
Mm-hmm. And how S.W.O.R.D. is going to be represented in future installments. I did like that they showed the impact of all the people coming back from the blip. I called it the blink, but they're calling it the blip.
Mm-hmm.
Like everybody just suddenly returning after 5 years, and because a lot of people were like, well, literally half the people are gone for 5 years and the world's had to adapt to that, and just suddenly boop, they're back and it's chaos. And I like that at least in this so far they're addressing that, like they kind of addressed it in the new Ant-Man film and a few others, but they're really addressing it in that one episode where they had Monica and everybody else just suddenly reappear. So that was
Did you see Spider-Man Far From Home?
I have not yet.
Ah,
which I know that is also involving after the blip, which I need to watch that.
Yeah.
I keep seeing it on TV, so I keep seeing bits of it. Mm. But I want to watch the full. I already know the ending, so yeah.
Well, the ending is that was my least favorite part of the film, but you know, yeah. the whole beginning of the film is about
after the blip. Yeah. So, yeah, I want to watch it in its entirety so I can. But they went into that in the show too, which I thought was nice. So we'll see what happens with the last three episodes and where it goes from there, because they're still saying Agnes is going to be this one character, which I can't spoil. Because she's kind of self-aware of what's going on, kind of. Because remember in the 80s when she's like, should we start over? Should we go back? And so she's kind of aware of what's going on. We'll see what happens. It's been an interesting ride so far, and I'm enjoying it because it's a lot of nostalgia. And we'll see where it goes. We'll see where it goes.
Cool. All right, folks. We're gonna make this kind of short because it is Valentine's Day here in the it's everywhere. Valentine's Day is not just a U.S. It's made up everywhere. I have preparations to make before my wife gets home from work. And so, Jen, thank you very much for spending a little bit of your Sunday morning here talking about fun Marvel shit.
Yeah.
And those of y'all that stumbled across us, thank you very much for watching and commenting. And we'll see you guys. Love you too, Boz.
Love you too, Boz.
And we'll be back again. Well, this will be put out as a podcast, hopefully, in a few days, and then
we got a special one coming up.
Yep. And as I said before, it is my intention to get Starbase happening on a much more regular basis, so look forward to that, or fear for your lives. I'm not sure whichever you feel about it, but that's what we're gonna do. Okay, so happy Valentine's Day, happy week, whatever, and take care. Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.